special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up. Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay in your home. Curfew is at 7 p.m. sharp after work. Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision sectors after curfew will be shot. Remain calm. Do not panic. Your neighborhood watch officer will be by to collect urine samples in the morning. Anyone caught interfering with the collection of urine samples will be shot. Stay in your home. Remain calm. The number one enemy of progress is questions. National security is more important than individual will. All sports broadcasts will proceed as normal. No more than two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now mandatory. Be happy. At last, everything is done for you.
Welcome. You are listening to the Freedom Ministry on RBN, and I am your host, Chris Switzer. And I haven't said it yet on this broadcast, but if you wish to check out my work online, you may do so. You can visit bitchute.com, an alternative to YouTube, which is just controlled opposition and censored, etc., etc. You cannot tell the truth of any nature on YouTube today, which is sad because it started out as a very great platform. It was awesome, if you can remember it. And I'm talking way back there, over a decade ago. Anywho, go to bitchute.com, bitchute.com/The Freedom Ministry. And you can see my work. My videos have well over 1 million views on BitChute, despite being shadow banned and the algorithms controlling it to not be seen as such. But you can subscribe and still get my videos. You will see the video about maybe 5 or 6, something like that, down from the latest one, of the actual missile strike hitting the Pentagon on 9/11 from the now released FBI confiscated footage from outside the Pentagon. Yes, folks, the no plane theory is not a crazy conspiracy theory. The truth will always out. If you wish to comment, ask a question, let your voice be heard on this program, please call 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. We were reading from 9/11 Evel by Victor Thorne, Israel's central role in the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. Before I jump back into it, I wanted to give you a little reading here from Bertrand L. Comparé's Complete Works. This one's titled False Prophets. We have many false prophets today. And let me give you the preferred number to call in. Okay? We prefer at RBN that you use 512-248-8252 to call in. Again, that is 512-248-8252. 8252. Just be intelligent and respectful, and you will be heard. False prophets, folks. For many years, Christianity has been under constant, bitter, and treacherous attack, until the major churches are now in a disorganized retreat. The attacks by those who are openly atheist, communist, or Jewish has done little damage. It couldn't appeal to anyone but our enemies, in any event. The most vicious attack and the most successful has come from men who have gained high positions of power in church hierarchies. They have used this power to destroy everything that brought Christianity greatness and kept it great. It's the old Marxist strategy of infiltration and destroying from within, just like they've done with our nation. The first step of this plot was to keep the church congregations ignorant of the real biblical basis for Christian doctrine. The average person has no training in analysis of the Bible. Most have never read it, or the correct translations with the concordance, for example. Even if they wished to, they could not spare the great amount of time necessary for the years of studies which are required. Let's face it, the average person doesn't have the capacity to undertake such a study independently. They must trust their minister to give them the results in a pre-digested form. However, his trust is far too often betrayed. How much of what is actually in the Bible were you ever taught in your church? Think back over your own church-going experience. How many Sundays did your minister ever tell you what was in more than just one verse of the Bible? Remember, he took just one verse as his text. That is the point of departure at which he left the Bible, never to return to it during the sermon. The rest of the sermon may have caused you to admire the cleverness of the man. However, when did he give you word for word what the Bible itself said? I remember noticing just a few months ago that the text for the Sunday morning sermon in one of the great churches here in Southern California was "The Horse That Played Baseball." Naturally, I wouldn't expect a modernist minister to know anything about the Old Testament. He would be strangely proud of his ignorance, saying he was a New Testament Christian. Very well, let him produce the verse in the New Testament where he found the text for that sermon. In my library, I have 11 different translations of the Old Testament and 21 different translations of the New Testament. It's not possible to find the text for that ridiculous sermon in any of these translations. Was it possibly an attempt to amuse the congregation in the hope of getting more of them to attend the services? People could get enough amusement at the movies, but where can they hear the word of Yahweh, God, instead of the word of man, if they can't get it at their churches? The first step of the plot is to keep the congregations ignorant of what is really in the Bible. Go to almost any church you may select, and you will see an obvious success of keeping the congregations in ignorance. The next step is to fill this vacuum, created by these falsehoods, with false doctrines which are not derived from the Bible. Any man-made doctrine can be dressed up plausibly in nice words. Look at communism, for example. You know how they actually behave in every country they control. You know the brutal massacre of whole classes of the population and the degrading slavery and poverty they force upon those who are allowed to survive. You certainly don't find any of this in communist literature. They talk as though communists were the most compassionate, generous, and warm-hearted movement which has ever existed. Man-made doctrines can also be dressed up in nice words and then passed as religion, and so they are. The process is simple and familiar. First, they attack the existing social institutions of our civilization as cruel and evil. When this comes from your minister, the man you have been taught to regard as a man of Yahweh God, it is very easy for him to give you a guilt complex about every actual virtue you may have. The ministers preach that you're selfish because you love the member of your own family more than you love the people who would reduce your neighborhood to a jungle, a place where no woman is safe day or night, even in the corridors of the government buildings. These ministers and priests preach you are wicked and unchristian because you don't want to bring this blight into your own neighborhoods and make it a menace to your own children. When your own minister, the man you have been led to trust, tells you this, it's hard to avoid a sense of guilt. Those who have preached such things to you are false prophets, who bring you actually satanic doctrines under the false guise or false flag of Christianity. The very Christ to whom they give lip service warned us of them in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, and Mark chapter 13, verse 22. Jesus warned us that one of the signs of the end of this age would be coming of false prophets. The coming of false prophets, excuse me. They would teach a false Christ instead of the real one. This is exactly what we are seeing today on a vast scale. The most outstanding example of this is an article in the May 18, 1965 issue of Look magazine. The director of the National Council of Churches Commission on Religion and Race makes a bitter and abusive attack upon the white race, supposedly in the name of religion. The article contains so many utterly false statements that I cannot let it go unchallenged. It is my purpose to take up his points one by one and prove how false they are. The director of the NCC begins by making this astounding statement, quote, "For years, most of our churches have aided and abetted the Anglo-Saxon white conspiracy. If an indictment were to be prepared, it might very well read like this. The Christian churches have not influenced their adherents to practice racial justice in housing, education, job opportunity, and public accommodations. The Christian churches, in their own internal life, have practiced discrimination and built barriers to prevent open membership in the very household of faith." With that, we will take a caller here. Mike is holding in Kentucky on line one. You're on the air, Mike.
One thing that I started doing probably almost 20 years ago was what I've heard called audience relevance. And it really helps to me to put things in context for who was being spoken to back then. So many twists and turns and stretches people go through to make something fit their doctrine, you know. When you put it in their perspective, for in order for it to be true, you know, 20 whatever you want to go back to, 2,000 years ago, 1948 years ago, whatever it is, for people to be said something to with blood in their ears, for it to be true to them, it has to be relevant to them and the audience that it was being spoken to, I think. So there's a lot of stuff that gets pulled out of there, and they try to apply it to us today by pulling it out of context, you know. And there's a lot of stuff there that's basically other people's mail, too. Like, was it Paul talking to the Corinthians or the Galatians, where he said, you're trying to turn back to the other people, to the shadow. You're trying to go back to the weak and worthless things, you know, to reestablish observing days and weeks and even killing. You know, earlier today there was a woman on here talking about the ritual killing of chickens that some of the Jewish people do. And
sure.
During COVID, we had, or right before COVID, I guess it was, Trump recognized Jerusalem and moved the embassy. And almost immediately they wanted to sacrifice, some of the modern Levites wanted to sacrifice a lamb on Temple Mount. They used a crane because I guess ritually they can't set foot on Temple Mount, so they used a crane to set up these big blocks on the crest of the hill that no vandal would be able to move, you know, without, you know, it would be too big for any humans or groups of humans to move. And they were ready. They were ready to, in Passover of 2020, that is, they were ready to sacrifice a lamb on Temple Mount, but lo and behold, here comes COVID and shut that down. And I think they did brag about say that they had killed a lamb for the first time in 2,000 years within the old city. But, of course, they can't, unless they can, the road, big roadblock supposedly is they got to find this flawless red heifer with nothing but, you know, no more than two hairs that aren't red, I think. Have you heard about this?
Of course I have.
Devout Christian man, and I think Alabama or somewhere in the southern United States has been for several decades, I think, he's been trying to breed red heifers, and he's sending the best that he can breed over there so they can try to have, they have their own, I guess, breeding program to try to breed a red heifer to sacrifice. I think it's at the East Gate, is it?
Oh, goodness. It's the third temple prophecy, but yeah, it's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, it is, and I stumbled across probably 10 or 12 years ago something, the story of Julian the Apostate in 363 A.D. He tried to rebuild the temple because he hated Christianity. Constantine had saddled the Roman Empire with this, and he wanted to short-circuit the what he called the Galileans' faith, so he hired a bunch of people and, you know, try to find the Levites that were remnant that he thought would have, I guess, would be acceptable to whatever Jewish folks had not left the area, and he wanted to resurrect the Jewish temple because then it would make Christianity irrelevant. Have you heard this?
Of course.
Okay. A lot of people haven't. A lot of people haven't heard this. But so, in the process of doing that, there were several signs and events that occurred. Like, I think there's about five source texts for the different versions of events that occurred there. Signs of cross in the sky, the workers, while they were asleep, woke up, and there was crystal crosses had crystallized on their garments. And then when the part that really I like is where they pried up what was considered to be the foundation stones, I guess, for the Holy of Holies. Fire came up out of the earth and burned some of the workers, maybe killed them, depending on which account you read. And Julian could not hire anybody to continue that project. But what that points to is fulfillment, because if those were the foundation stones for the inner rooms, which we're told, if you read your Bible, it says, do not seek for me in the inner rooms, which meant the Holy of Holies of heavens and earth. He said, mm-hmm. heaven and earth, the inner rooms will not pass away, you know, they will pass away, but my words will not pass away, right? So when they pried up those foundation stones in 363 A.D., it's further proof that there was not one stone left upon another. And so do they have a clue what ridge or where to build that temple? You know, they're trying to make this conflict with Islam and say it should be over the Dome of the Rock, where supposedly Muhammad ascended. But I just wonder if there's really any credible scholarship that knows where that temple should even be built. So they're going to be building a temple that is Antichrist, for one thing. It's an insult to the cross. Wrong? Right? I mean,
well, I'll give you a hint. You know, these are Jews, okay? And the modern Jews are not the Israelites spoken of in the Bible, as much as they want to pretend they are. They're not. That's the problem.
Do we believe Stephen? What did he tell the Sanhedrin and those people before they stoned him?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be, for your idolatry and worship of your god Renfran, you're going to be banished where? Beyond Babylon. Now, in context to them at that time, to the audience there, would that not say to them that they were going to be banished beyond return? It's the last time they were banished to Babylon. They were told to plant orchards and vineyards and build houses because you're going to be here a while. But they were given the impression that if they were to humble themselves, they'd be returning. But not when Stephen said what he said. If he was, you know, what he said was true, they weren't going to return, and they aren't the ones today.
Hey, I'll hold you over if you'd like, Mike. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now...
Thank you. Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up.
Welcome back. You're still listening to the Freedom Ministry on RBN, and I'm still your host, Chris Switzer. And I believe I still have Mike from Kentucky on the line talking about Third Temple Prophecy, the Red Heifer, and what the Zionists are trying to do over in occupied territory in Palestine today. I still have you, Mike.
Yeah, I just wonder how many times there's been an attempt to build the Third Temple. And this Christians United for Israel stuff, Kufi, I'm sure you've ran across some of that. John Hagee and the Tetrads, the four blood moons with the eclipse in the middle, and all the, when I was young, there was that, 88 reasons for Jesus to return in 1988, 48.
Right.
Why was that? That was because 1948 supposedly was reestablishment of the legitimate supposed state of Israel, a nation. But 40 years, if you go to Hebrews 3 in context, it makes reference to the wandering in the wilderness. Hebrews 3, right? So there's your definition of what a generation is, at hand. And through how many times do we hear that? At hand, throughout the scriptures. This is at hand, that is at hand. Daniel was told to seal up the prophecy of his book, and we've got all these dispensationalist folks that are works back over 150 years probably to Schofield and his maybe deliberate interpretation of genos versus genoa. in that generation, you know, they try to point to all the signs for a certain generation to fulfill all this stuff. But Daniel was told to seal up the prophecy of his book, and that was only, I think, 600 years prior to the crucifixion, right? Something like that? Told to seal up, and we're all told, you know, a lot of these dispensationalists try to tell us that the 70th week of Daniel was suspended. And there, you know, you got all, every politician has to go over there and bow to that wall. And you catch a few
the Roman wailing wall. Oh, yeah.
The, yeah, the wailing wall, which is, it looks like by the archaeological evidence, it was, and a lot of people point to that and say, see, not one stone was left upon another. Well, there's still stones on another from that temple. Are you sure? There's one of those ends of that wall where they dug up a Roman bath, and they found coins underneath of that wall that date to something like 150 A.D., some over a generation after that temple was destroyed by Titus.
Yep.
Under the orders of a guy that was called the Beast, Nero. He killed himself with his own sword, a mortal wound, and yet he had a stunt double roaming around playing a fiddle, supposedly. So there's lots of rumors that he had suffered a mortal wound and yet lived. Start to sound familiar?
Yes, it is.
And, that happened 40 years after the crucifixion, after the temple was rent, the curtain was torn in two, and I don't know, you've seen The Passion of Christ, I'm sure, where it shows the stone part that supposedly contained the ark, which was probably gone at that point, but it was, you know, split, the temple itself was cracked in two, if you believe that, if you, you know, the visualization there, as well as the this massive curtain torn in two, which was the separation between the Holy of Holies, you know, heavens and earth in the temple, symbolically, if not actually. Spirit of God could show up and strike a priest dead if he was corrupt. But after that, ye are the temples, right? And so...
There you go.
In 363 A.D., there's a further confirmation that not one stone was left upon another. They pried up those foundation stones. And the book of Revelation, John the Revelator, if you believe he was John the Beloved or another John, he was told not to seal up the book because it was going to shortly, all the stuff there was going to shortly take place. So we've got a little conflict there, I think, between, you know, the 70th week of Daniel being sealed up supposedly to this day. Revelation was not to be sealed. Now you can, you know, puzzle over all the parable and allegory or symbolics or the how things are couched in symbolism. And I think we lack some of the cultural understanding we need to understand some of that, but I found it very, I puzzled over it pre-internet in about 1989. I ran across, do you have a Revised Standard Version or a new Revised Standard Version of the Scriptures?
I probably have one laying around. It's not the one I prefer, but yes. Yeah.
Well, look, I just pulled it off the shelf one time, and I was in a I was in a low state, you know, spiritually, and it hit me like a ton of bricks where they had a footnote in there for Revelation chapter 13. At the bottom, it said, some ancient manuscripts say 616 in the Greek. The mark of the beast, 616. How could that be?
Interesting.
Yeah, look that up.
I appreciate the call, Mike.
All right, thanks.
Have a great one. We'll be right back, guys. Stay tuned.
Or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorney. Shut up. Do not attempt.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You are listening to the Freedom Ministry on RBN. I am your host, Chris Switzer, and I know I have another caller holding. I'll get to you in just a moment. I appreciate you calling in. Mike and I were speaking about the Third Temple prophecy and scripture and how it relates to the people today and what was said about it in times past. And I just want anybody listening, if they want to get a grasp on the Red Heifer and the Third Temple prophecy, most today are very visually learning, you know, and we're attuned to these televisions that I talked about. So if you have the time, there is a series that was made on USA Network called Dig, D-I-G, Dig. They only aired one season, 10 episodes, because I think if they went any further, it would have exposed the whole ball of wax and exposed Judaism for what it is, the corruption, the state of Israel, all of it. But they did a very good job of showing you the ultimate apostasy and blasphemy of it all, and how they bastardized it all for corruption and gain of man. That is the series Dig on the USA Network. It aired one season back in 2015. It really shows it all. And if they went any further and had a season two, it would have gone too far, I think, or they would have had no more material to talk about. So very interesting. And right now, these sons of Satan, these Canaanite Edomites, these Jews who say they are Judahites, but are not, but are a synagogue of Satan, as Jesus warned, are right now blaspheming our God, making a mockery of the high Sabbath holy days that our God Yahweh told us to hold dear to us as Israelites, that they are blowing the shofar at the Roman Wailing Wall even today. They did it last night. From Leviticus 23:24, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on day one of the month, there shall be a cessation for you with a memorial trumpet blasting, a holy meeting. Everything gets perverted because they are the imposters and pretenders. And we're talking of the Yom Teruah, okay, or the trumpet of feast, or the, as they call it. And they've just bastardized everything and mock the tradition and the teachings of Yahweh. For they themselves, their ancestors, killed God incarnate, Jesus Christ. It's incredible. It is incredible. And I'll take your call. Thank you so much for holding. David in Massachusetts on line 3. You're on the air.
Oh, hello, Chris. I enjoy your show. I'm familiar with just about all the books you read out of. I'm familiar with almost everything you talk about. You have a very wide-ranging knowledge. You're very spiritually mature. That's why I called you, because it's going to take a very spiritually mature. It's going to take a very old soul to feel this call to handle this call that I'm going to make now. But first off, Chris, may I ask you? And I usually don't ask a question unless I answer it in advance. You know, I just turned 69 years old, Chris, here in September. I'm a Virgo. Mm-hmm. I just turned 69. May I ask you how old you are?
Yes, you may. I am 38 years old.
Yeah, and of course, the only reason I ask, age means nothing to me, but the only reason I ask is, so I know in what context, like if I speak of some mm-hmm. event that maybe happened before you were even born or something, you know, because I'm almost twice as old as you or something. But
sure.
Chris, this is what I, isn't discussed at all, but this is what I'm going to, you're the first one to hear this, but Chris, you know, the test of a true prophet, and I don't claim to be, I do claim to be a prophet. I jokingly say, I'm definitely a prophet. People say, oh, how arrogant can you be to say that you're a prophet? I say, well, no, I know I'm a prophet. I'm either a true prophet or I'm a false prophet. But in any case, I'm a prophet, you know. So anyways, Chris, uh-huh. So only time will tell whether I'm a true prophet on this prophecy. But Chris, I'm here to tell you there's a coming civil war coming, but it's not at all the way just about everybody talks about it. And before I go on, let me point out that our past civil war back in the 1860s was not a civil war, as you well know, Chris, because you know your stuff. You know, it was the war between the states. It wasn't a civil war. But what's coming, Chris, and sooner rather than later, is a true civil war. And everybody jumps to the conclusion, oh, yeah, it's going to be a race war between whites and blacks and so on, you know, things like that. You know, the Jews against the Gentiles, all this kind of stuff and everything. You know, the Jews against the Arabs and blah, blah, blah. You know, all the white man's enemies, the Jews, the blacks, and the radical homosexuals and all this stuff against the white man. But no, the true nature of this coming civil war, it's going to be a race war, but it's going to be an internecine race war. And what it is, it's not going to be white against black or black against white at all. It's going to be white-on-white violence. And it's going to be horrific, and it's coming soon, and it's going to be the great white man versus the wicked, evil, white race traitor pig. That's right, the wicked, evil, white razor pig and all the power. They talk about the Jews and the blacks and the communists and the Zionists. Listen, none of them could have any power over us. All political power comes out of the barrel of the gun. And in this country, the power coming out of the barrel of the gun is from the white race traitor pig. And it's important. Actually, somebody should have me on as a guest to actually explain this in length and detail. And oh, these white raider pigs, you know, they're the ones. They're not. These new police officers, they're not even white men. These white race traitor pigs. And in the FBI, white race traitor FBI pigs, they're training. They're training all these homosexuals, all these blacks, all these. You know, it's almost like up here in Boston, there's a police exam. They hang out practically white men need not apply. All the emphasis is on lesbians and minorities and immigrants and this, you know. So these white race traitor pigs are actually high training. None of these non-white police officers could even be trained without the white race traitor pig. But I'm telling you, these white race traitor pigs, they've enforced all these restraining orders where they disarm the white man. They've dethroned a man's home as his castle, but they got it set up, you know. And you know these Jews, Judeo-anti-Christians, I call them, and everything. They could have no power over us, but they control the courts. And these white race traitor pigs just follow their marching orders from these radical lesbian Jewish prosecutors and everything. So they enforce the. All a woman has to do is drop a call right from her home and call the police, and the white race traitor pigs come and they make the man leave his castle. They dethrone the man. The man's the king of the castle, but these white race traitor pigs order him to leave the house. I've seen this time as a cab driver. I used to get police calls. Somebody should have me on as a guest where I could talk about this at length. But you know, all this abortion stuff. I used to see these white race traitor pigs dragging off pro-life protesters that would protest in front of an abortion mill. They'd be using the RICO laws dragging them in the most. And even in the pandemic, the white race traitor pigs up in Canada and the white race traitor pigs in Australia and everything. I'm telling you, it's coming, baby. And it's going to be horrific. It's coming soon. The great white man versus the wicked, evil white race traitor pig. We're going to have it out, and we're going to have it out soon. And that goes for you white FBI race traitor pigs. And I know you fulfilled your fantasy. You always fantasized about getting into Melania's pants, didn't you? Well, congratulations, you white race traitor pigs, FBI pigs, got into Melania's pants and her drawers, didn't you? Do you feel proud of yourself? And how about you white female FBI agents, huh? Why don't you blow a few whistles? Why don't you stand up for Melania, a wonderful white woman? No, because you're white race traitor pigs. Oh, the great white man and the wicked evil white race traitor pig. And pig is spelled with 5 G's. And if you think it's not Christian, Jesus Christ said, cast not your pearls before swine, before pigs, lest they trample them on the foot and turn and rend thee. And I, down through the years, I was a cab driver, a nighttime cab driver. I used to be out in the streets with these white race traitor pigs in Anchorage, in New York City, Anchorage, Alaska. And I used to, sometimes in the wee hours of the morning, it's just us cab drivers and the pigs.
Sure.
Are out on the street. And I'd go into breakfast at Denny's up in Anchorage, Alaska. Time and time again, I'd try to give them a copy of the Spotlight newspaper, some patriotic material. These swine, this white race traitor pigs, they'd never take any patriotic material from me. And Chris, I know I'm going on, but just one thing, another thing I'd like to get out. Sometimes they'd come up with this crap about being a conspiracy theorist. You know what I say to these idiots that want to write off the truth is just a conspiracy theory? A technique I use, Chris. I say to these morons, I say, I'm a conspiracy theorist. So let me ask you a question. Do you believe in pirates? And they look at me, what's that got to do with anything? Of course I believe in pirates. Oh, you do you? So you believe in piracy, huh? You know, the pirates were into piracy. Well, yeah, of course I believe in piracy. Of course I believe in pirates and piracy. I said, you don't think pirates got together and planned who they were going to attack to rape and loot and where they were going to steal their booty and which ships they were going to attack? And, well, yeah, I believe all that. I said, well, listen, the root of the word conspiracy is piracy. Okay?
Yep.
So, yeah. So there is piracy, conspiracy. And that's why these prosecutors charge everybody with conspiracy. They're going to be charging Trump with conspiracy. Everyone that's in prison doing a prison sentence, part of the time they're doing is on a charge of conspiracy. So it's just so insane. But, Chris, I'll let you go. Get your feedback. But let me reiterate, it's coming soon. It's going to be what they call the Civil War. Wasn't a Civil War. It was a war between the states, as you all know, Chris, and your audience knows, Chris.
Sure.
You've got a pretty sophisticated audience. That's why a lot of idiots aren't calling into you, just whining, rambling on about illegal immigration or something time and time again. Yeah, Johnny One Notes. That's all they can blab about. But this is the real Civil War that's coming up. And as I say, it's the great, you know, and if people think there isn't a great white
sure.
man, hey, let me tell you, there's a great white whale. There's a great white bear. I lived up in Alaska for years. I was an Anchorage cab driver. There's a great white whale. There's a great white bear. There's a great white snow leopard. There's a great white tiger. There's a great white rhino, a great white rhinoceros, and everything. Let me tell you something. There is a great white man, and the great white man is going to be horrific, and the blood is going to flow up to the horse's bridles, if I may use that biblical metaphor. It's going to be horrific. But let me tell you, the great white man is going to prevail over these white race trader pigs, especially those white race trader pigs in the FBI. That got into Melania's drawers and into her pants. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the call, David.
Thanks for taking the call, Chris. And
no,
now
course.
We'll see. You. Now we're going to time will
yes.
tell whether I'm a true prophet or a false
yeah.
prophet.
I appreciate the call. And yes, good will prevail over evil. I truly believe it. You're talking about the Shabbos Goy, or those doing the bidding of their masters, who are the assets of Satan, the synagogue of Satan. And yeah, it's unfortunately, that's who controls the system at large right now. They're not going to hire people who actually want freedom, you know, for the individual man, or any of these lofty ideals that were spouted about by our founding fraudsters, etc. They knew what was to come as well, and that's why Patrick Henry said, "I smelled a rat," and he didn't want to be a part of it. It's been this way for a long time. It's progressive, and here it is. But with that, we are going to jump to the next caller. Thank you for holding, Tom in Utah. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Chris. Just a curious question. I was friends with Cleon Skousen. I don't know if that's a familiar name to you. He was the executive secretary to J. Edgar Hoover and knew some inside experience with J. Edgar Hoover and his perverted lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And also I think he wrote the book called The Naked Communist. But he also was involved, believe it or not, with the man who was trying to breed the red heifer, and I kind of put him on his head when I said, "Are you talking about the abomination of desolation?" And he didn't particularly like me saying that. But I just wondered if you'd come across his work, both on the, you know, on the issue of the Communist Party as well as the red heifer attempt. And he was fully, how do you say, supportive of this effort. And I told him, I think you're probably walking down the wrong path. Anyway, there's another individual I wanted to ask you about, and that's Abraham Gileadi, who was an author, scholar, that did heavy research on Isaiah. And you talk about sometimes scripture is being obscured, even though he was a scholar, and he wrote commentary on every verse in Isaiah. I was asked to get to him because he was suffering TIAs or transitory strokes, mini strokes. So I went down to visit with him at the behest of some other men who wanted to keep him well. And I asked him about a particular verse in Isaiah. It's Isaiah chapter
6. Hey, I'm going to hold you over, Tom. We'll be right back after the break, guys. Stay tuned.
Two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drug prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now...
Saturday was Constitution Day. I'm Peter Serafini with today's Liberty Minute. Albert Einstein said the strength of the Constitution lies entirely in the determination of each citizen to defend it. Einstein said each citizen, not citizens at large. On September 17, 1787, 39 men signed the United States Constitution. The grand experiment of a representative democracy framed as a constitutional republic began 235 years ago. The average constitution tried in other countries only lasts 15 years. So clearly, the United States Constitution is remarkable. I have handed out thousands of pocket constitutions, and I can't believe how often someone says, "I've never read it," or "I don't really know what's in it." Be determined to defend the Constitution. Read it. Teach its principles to younger generations. Returning to constitutional principles is our only hope of saving our republic. Find more constitutionally-minded commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Zivis Pashem, Parabellum.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up.
Welcome back. You're still listening to the Freedom Ministry on RBN. I am your host, Chris Switzer, and we still have Tom on the line from Utah. The floor is yours.
Have you got a pencil and paper, Chris? I remembered the name of the book that I want you to check out on the clearance scales. It's called The Majesty of God's Law. The Majesty of God's Law by Cleon Skousen. And it was really interesting. He was suffering mini strokes or TIAs, And a group of friends said, Tom, you got to get to him because we want him to finish the book. And thankfully, he did respond to advice, and he got to finish the book. And I think there's a lot of people like, you know, Bo Greitz, Judge Richard Mack, I mean, Sheriff Richard Mack and others like him, and even Eustace Mullins. I don't know if you know that name.
But they, yes, I do.
They were all friends of Creon. And like I say, Creon had the inside dope on the FBI, which would make you curl your, curl your hair. Anyway, but yeah, make sure you take a, see if you can get a copy of that Majesty of God's Law. It's based upon the Pentateuch, of course, but you know it's on the Ten Commandments as well as all the other laws expressed in the Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Exodus, whatever.
I will.
Anyway, he did a really good job of writing that. The other individual, Abraham Gileadi, he wrote a book on Isaiah. But what I got to tell you, it's kind of a another example of what you're talking about, how they'll refer to a scripture that is innocuous and then avoid the ones that are actually life-changing or life-preserving.
Yeah.
When I was asked to go visit with Abraham Gileadi, he was dealing with strokes, TIAs, and the friends wanted him to survive for him to finish his book on Isaiah. What was funny is I referred to the verses 3 and 4 in chapter 66 of Isaiah. I said, Abraham, could you explain to me the language in those verses? So he says, what verses were they? I said, chapter 66, the last chapter, verses 3 and 4. And also verse 17 is a curious one. He went to his script, his manuscript. He could not find anything that he'd written on those two verses. Every other verse he made comment about and made an interpretation of in his opinion, but he missed those two verses plus verse 17. Rather bizarre.
Interesting.
So it looks like, I kind of teasingly said, Abraham, it looks like Lucifer wants you to not understand those three verses. They're critical to your surviving.
Right.
You might look up the book of, I'm not sure, I think he's called it Understanding Isaiah.
Okay.
Abraham Gileadi. And like I say, both of them were honored people among the circle of patriots. That's what's bizarre. There is such a link between the gospel and patriotism.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, even though the man who wrote
we've come right to the end, Tom. I appreciate your call, and I appreciate all listening. Enjoy the weekend. God bless, and go to God. That's all. Later, guys.
Hey, Chris, go to TomRogers.org.
All right.
TomRogers.org with a D in it.
You got it.
With a D.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye now.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.